Well, you see, this is $1 million marijuana crop discovered in Madison, but we're burning it as fast as we can. Well, what do you know?
Live from San Francisco, California to Ithaca, New York, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, writer, illustrator, and world traveler Ella Sanders, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's waiting for the iPhone, Pluka Parfait, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah, that Pluka Parfait iPhone. How's everybody? Pretty good then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you heard about that marijuana thing, huh? It's all medical marijuana, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. All right. In other news, let's see. The India Mars orbiter beats the Chinese one, which is still traveling at 25 miles per hour, to the red planet. NASA's Mars rover drills into Mars's Mount Sharp, and the Koch brothers claim all mineral rights. Those of you, by the way, who are gathering at Venice Beach for the George Clooney wedding, it's the wrong one. They're in the Italian one. So, quite the affair. I understand you can't find a gondola there for love nor money right now in Venice. George Clooney wedding. I suppose he's marrying someone else, but it can't be just the George Clooney wedding, but I don't know her name. Okay, let's see. Other news that isn't. The British will not take up the fight against ISIS, according to spokesman Neville Chamberlain. Obama Attorney General Eric Holder is leaving the job, and it looks like the Al Sharpton nomination may be in trouble. You know, Carlton from Fresh Prince wants the job, but they don't look that much alike. It's pretty close. Water on Earth, they discovered. Water on Earth is older than the sun, which means that for 1 million years, we couldn't see where all the dampness was coming from. Awfully damp in here. The sun sees, so you can, actually. Okay. Paleontologists, meanwhile, say dinosaurs had wings for 150 million years before they knew what to do with them. They used to just swat mosquitoes the size of crows with the things. Lots of them thought they were for that, you know. Never in their wildest dreams did dinosaurs think they would end up as chickens. Even though they tasted like chicken, that should have been a red flag. Anyway, Derek Jeter leaves the Yankees without a disease named after him. So how immortal is that, huh? The Yankees are now expected to disband without Jeter. Okay, cool. I wish I would have followed his career before it ended. You know, I just heard about the guy. Sounds like he's a pretty good ball player. Second base? What do you play?
Shortstop.
Shortstop, cool.
The only position you ever played.
Oh, wonderful. The climate change march in New York City added an estimated 1 trillion tons of CO2 to the atmosphere. That's from 1 million people exhaling simultaneously. Essentially, though, the change there actually changed Central Park into a reptile garden as a result of the change right over New York City. Cadillac secedes from General Motors. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Which means now that the minister's Buick is top of the line. Watch for the new Springsteen release, Pink Buick, from the reissued Buick Ranch album. My 3D printer is in the 3D printed shop. Let's see now. Oh, Chris and Bruce are breaking up. Did you see that? Yeah, Chris and Bruce are breaking up. It's official. Chris Kozlowski and Bruce Bernstein, of course, I'm speaking of. Very nice guys. I wish them the best. Is your iPhone 6 Plus bending, or are you happy to see me? That's being heard all over America. But I'll tell you something. Gumby has one, and he loves it. Windows 9 is coming out. That's N-E-I-N. Alrighty, I agree with you on that, I guess. People who spend long hours at work are more likely to develop disorders, but more likely to be covered for them. So it's a trade-off. What the heck? Multitasking has been found to shrink the brain in several lobes simultaneously. I'm a semi-tasker myself, so it doesn't apply to me. In Paris, a very short prankster arrested after walking several blocks under Kim Kardashian's rear end. Very short prankster. Well, it was raining. North Korean leader feeling Kim Jong unwell. More on this from Sarah. Sarah, you have a diagnosis, I believe, of Kim Jong un's unwell.
Yeah, I think he's had a rather rich diet, that's all.
Rich diet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the gout. It's the gout and the blood.
Did you say something about virgin livers?
Yes, I thought maybe he was dining solely on virgin livers. You know, if you're the supreme leader, what's his title? Supreme leader?
He's got a lot of titles.
Yeah. Gout-ridden leader. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. And in other news, besides Kim Jong unwell, Wisconsin Republicans are upset they can't vote with their country club cards. Voter ID, you know, apparently there's got to be a picture on them, for one thing. The new fence at the White House, Menards. They're pretty excited about it. They save big money at the White House, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to remind those celebrating Oktoberfest, it is September. And anyway, October is spelled with a C, not a K. It doesn't give you any special rights to do that. And finally, this fall, Milwaukee Brewers cruise leaves port unexpectedly early. So if you were waiting for the Brewers cruise, it's left. Destination unknown. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much. Any of you on the Brewers cruise? Oh, yeah. Did you ever hear of the L'Esprit de l'Escalier?
No.
I don't know what that means in English, but it means something in French. It's one of those words. Oh, it's a phrase, actually. I guess you call it a phrase. It's something you think of on the stairs. So, like, you know, you have this interaction with someone, and they say something, and then as you're leaving the whole thing, probably upset from the interaction, you think of what you should have said. So that's, like, something you think of on the stairs. By the way, is she online by any chance? Just sort of curious here. And we do have a guest here, and otherwise this whole thing is just padding for no reason. Just adding to my... What? Yes. So did you ever hear of L'Esprit de l'Escalier? That's when a French guy is on the stairs thinking of something that he should have said to you, you know, in the foyer, or whatever they call that. Well, that brings up, because this book here is called Lost in Translation by Ella Frances Sanders. It's an illustrated, because she's both an artist and a writer. It's illustrated. The illustrations are fantastic and beautiful, but it's also a compendium of untranslatable words, because there are words in every language, especially when I'm speaking, that have no meaning in any other tongue. So, and that's what it's about. It's amazing. It's and insightful about the particular cultures and the countries and so forth involved. We have Ella on the line with us, I believe. Do we? This is an act of faith now if I push this button. From London, because that's where she is currently. Hi, Ella, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We never know which country we're going to find you in.
I'm in the UK at the moment.
In the UK. Did you give...
Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah. Did you give up on Morocco or what?
No, I'll be back.
You'll be back. Yeah. And then where else do you live? Like everywhere?
I'd like to. Four or five places.
Four or five places. Is there a legal reason for that, or are you wanted by various Interpol?
No, I wish
or?
It was that interesting. Yeah. I just like moving about. I get cabin fever.
You do?
Yeah.
You do. But what do you call home, if anywhere?
Well, it's funny, but Morocco was probably the closest thing to home.
Morocco.
But I grew up in the UK, so.
Grew up in the UK. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Somewhere in between there.
Yes. I love your book.
Thank you.
It's very swell, and it makes me want to know you as a person and as a human being, but I think we'll never meet in any of these cities is the problem. But because I was talking about the spirit of the stairs or whatever, the French thing, you know, l'esprit, the l'escalier. And there's actually the same concept in Yiddish I learned from your book.
Yeah, Treppwörter.
Yeah. How do you say that?
Treppwörter.
Yeah, it's harder to say than even the French.
Yeah.
But that's the same sort of thing, where you think of something that you should have said as you're leaving.
Yeah, similar. It happens to me a lot of the time.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm amazed about, so many of these things. These are things that actually do happen to you, but you didn't know there was a word for them.
Exactly. I think that's why people like them so much. They just, you know, happens to you every day, and you think there should be a word for this, and there usually is.
Yeah. I notice there's a lot of German here. Would you say the Germans are sort of the best at putting together words?
Yeah, there is a lot of German words in there. Yeah. I think, I don't know, most I reckon there's so many because they just, you know, put the words together one after the other. They don't necessarily, I mean, a direct translation would sound ridiculous, of course, but they seem to have a lot. I'm not sure entirely why, but.
Yeah, did you ever read that Mark Twain thing on the awful German language?
I've heard about it. There's also one someone's written similar thing for French as well, but.
Yeah. Well, he didn't like anybody, including us, but, you know.
No.
But he always said that what the Germans do is they just keep adding on words onto words and still get these incredibly long words.
They do.
That are very specific about something, but they're unbelievably long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the one that you have here that I really like is the Kummerspeck.
Oh, yes.
What is Kummerspeck?
Kummerspeck. Essentially, you and I would probably know it as emotional eating they translated it means grief bacon.
Grief bacon. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Grief bacon for stress eating.
Yeah. Which, you know, we all do deny it, but definitely.
Yeah. Do most of the German phrases seem to be food related? I'm just curious.
well, maybe more than most.
Yeah. And tell me some of your own favorites that you've... And by the way, how did you uncover these? Is from your extensive traveling that you run into these words?
Well, I knew maybe four or five personally, and then a lot of them float around on the internet. There's also a British guy called Adam Jacko, which I think he was commissioned by Penguin to write three of these books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you know of a BBC show called QI.
No,
it's kind of like a quiz show with this guy called Stephen Fry. Anyway, he was a researcher, so...
Oh.
He ended up writing three of those, so they were quite useful to read.
Yeah. Stephen Fry, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, Stephen Fry. Yeah, I know him. Oh, and we don't get the show, unfortunately.
Oh, no, that's true. They don't let it over there.
Yeah. Now, I like this Dutch one here, Ostrich Politics. How do you say that in Dutch?
Ostrich Politics.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll let you handle it.
Is this the story? Oh, no. Hang on.
Streisvogel Politik?
Streisvogel Politik, I learned about 20 words of Dutch when I was in Morocco because some people were staying, but very quickly forgot it again.
Yeah. Ostrich Politics.
Yes.
So anything, what is ostrich politics then to the Dutch?
Essentially sticking your head in the sand, kind of ignoring the obvious, ignoring the problems, and, you know, carrying on regardless kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, does happen a lot in politics. I don't know if it happens in their politics, but politics somewhere.
Yeah. And then you get the more transcendental ones, like in Urdu, Goya.
Oh, yes. That one's a good one.
Yeah, explain that to me.
Goya. So, essentially, sort of, Goya is a transporting... It's like when you read a story and you get that kind of disbelief and, you know, you're transported somewhere else. It feels like reality, but it's not.
It's not. It's sort of a higher reality.
Yeah,
or a surreality.
Yeah.
And that's Goya. Can you use that in a sentence in Urdu? Probably not. Okay.
Probably not. You have to give me a little while, I think.
I absolutely love the Japanese word for... unread books.
Oh, Sundoku.
Because we all have them. What is the word?
Sundoku.
Sundoku.
Yeah.
And that means?
I'm definitely guilty of that. Essentially, it's buying books and not reading them, letting them, pile up with other books. For example, I bought a couple of books the other day, and I already have three that I meant to be reading. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get better over the years.
No, exactly. No.
Yeah. Plus classics. And then everyone goes through a classic period and says, all right, I'm gonna read, Man and Superman. I'm going to read, whatever. And it's still there on the bedstead, and all of them are all there. All the great classics are lined up on my bedstead. But that's interesting. Is there something about the Japanese culture that would make that a word that we wouldn't have in our culture?
Well, it definitely happens to us. It definitely happens to clearly you and I.
Yeah. You just wonder about the clues to culture within each of these words.
Yeah, because it's really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they don't. Well, the culture is, I guess, more about consumerism and, there's always something new and something better, so,
The Yiddish I'm a little more familiar with, but there's some good ones in here, and I always like Yiddish for that very reason, is that they always took words and either made sort of a humorous twist on a human characteristic, such as Luftmensch is in here. And Luftmensch literally would be an air person, correct?
Yeah, someone with the head in the clouds.
Head in the clouds, Luftmensch, air person. And it's a good way of summarizing someone without having really to deal with them personally, which is, I think Yiddish is excellent for that. Luftmensch. And there's some other Yiddish words in there, too. What did you have in here? A schlamazel.
Sorry, we had Treppwurst as well, didn't we?
Yeah, and you had schlamazel, too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Chronically unlucky.
Chronically unlucky. Schlamazel, yes. As opposed to a schlemiel, which is just a guy you don't want to be around. But a schlamazel is like, the bad luck could be contagious, so you avoid schlamazels and schlemiels, pretty much. Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting now. Is it Tima in Icelandic? The word Tima.
Oh, yes. Is this the one not wanting to spend anything of that value?
Yeah.
Time and money. Yeah.
Not being ready to spend time or money on a specific thing despite being able to afford it.
Yeah.
See, now this has got to say something about Icelanders, doesn't it? I mean, what is that? What is it that it says? Tight? They're tight, apparently.
Yeah. They're also very clean and very organized, I think.
Clean and organized.
Yeah, I think they're just avoiding mess.
Yeah, interesting. Swedish, there's a lot in here in Swedish. And I know we actually quite a few Swedish people and Norwegian people. They both have some excellent words. Do you have any favorites among the Swedish or Norwegian words?
Definitely tretal, the word which is essentially the third cup of coffee you've drunk.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Really like that one.
Yeah, what is that one called again?
So, this happens to me far too much.
Yeah.
You have your first cup of coffee of the day. If you're anything like me, it's before 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And you have, your refill, and then you have the one after that. But they have a word for this third cup of coffee, which is tretal. So.
Yeah, that's for the, and that means for the third one, the third cup.
Yeah, the third cup of coffee.
Yeah, and this is certainly backed up by drinkage statistics of coffee.
They drink the most.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, they drink more than anybody.
Yeah.
And this Hawaiian word here, this akihi, is that right?
Oh, the Hawaiian one, yeah.
Yeah. Akihi, I think it is, or something like that. How would you say that?
Similar, akihi, I guess.
And I love this one because this is exactly what I do, and I didn't know there was a word in any language for it, because that's listening to directions and then walking off and forgetting them entirely.
Yeah.
It means you've gone akihi. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, that must be endemic to Hawaii, but it's certainly part of my life. I mean, is that true of other people too? I mean, yes. So we've discovered a word for it now. See, it's called going akihi. And I wonder if it's something related to it, because when I'm introduced to someone, I'm usually so nervous about it that I forget their names immediately after being introduced. So if I see them again, like even 10 minutes later, I'll say, it's nice to see you again, but I I wonder if there's a word,
a word for that as well.
What?
There should probably be a word for that.
I bet in Hawaii there's a word for that as well.
Yeah.
But the directions one, definitely. And I noticed the Norwegians have a lot of falling in love sort of things now, which I wouldn't have suspected.
They do.
Well, I mean, our Norwegians around here don't seem to be, you know, along those lines, as you know, falling in love. They're very nice people and everything, but that the words in Norwegian that forelsket.
Yeah.
What is that then?
That feeling of falling in love.
Yeah.
I suppose.
The euphoria of it.
Yeah. Which I guess is you only find it there.
You only find it in Norway?
No.
Oh, you only find euphoria at that moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Before the collapse that follows immediately.
Exactly, before the inevitable collapse.
Even worse than not remembering directions, I think, is what happens after that. That's good. Now, indigenous language of distant Tierra del Fuego, Chile, Yaghan?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you know about that language?
Not enough. Mm. Other than, you know, there's not very many people who speak it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually reading a really interesting book at the moment by a guy called David Bevel, called Is That a Fish in Your Ear? Which is about translation and what is translation and why do we call it translation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of book that requires your attention to read.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. But, you know, there's 7,000 of these things, these languages, and most of them just a handful of people speak. So, like the Yagan language.
Mm. Well, it's very interesting. Do you want to take a crack at this word saying it? Because I can't do it.
Which one is this?
It's the M-A-M-I-H-L-A-P-I-N-A-T-A-P-A-I word.
You kind of mush it together, couldn't you? I'd probably say something like mamle or peanut up high.
Ooh, that was good.
I missed out a few bits in the middle there, but
very nice. You sound like a native Yaghan speaker.
but what is it?
This is a really kind of an amazing concept. What does it actually mean?
Mamle peanut up high. Well, I guess hang on a second.
You got to look it up in your own book.
I do.
That's a bad sign.
I really do. You'll have to bear with me a second.
Okay. I can give you the page number, but they're not.
Here we are.
They're not numbered.
There are no page numbers.
Yeah, you didn't number the pages in your book. Is there a reason for that?
Apparently, so I can't find things easily.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say it again, but yes. So, it's sort of acknowledgement between two people, kind of silent understanding. One of those moments which you kind of look at someone in the eye and you think, yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, I never had one of those. What does that feel like? So a silent acknowledgement and understanding between two people who are both wishing or thinking the same thing and are both unwilling to initiate.
Yeah, I guess that's the key part.
Yeah, that's kind of a key part. So
yeah.
So how do they know if they're actually right? I mean, it's possible for a huge misunderstanding here.
True.
In Tierra del Fuego at this time.
But then maybe, you know, there's only, you know, 100 to 1,000 of these people, so clearly they don't have these misunderstandings.
Yeah. But I wonder, is this characteristic of life down there in Tierra?
Perhaps. Maybe they, you know, this is one of the only words that they need.
Yeah. And the unwillingness to initiate, even though they think they're on the same page.
Yes.
See, I would think that would be Norwegian. But no, they're euphorically in love all the time. That's entirely different. Yeah? Oh, he agrees with me. He's Norwegian, so he can do that. Oh, there's the fika. Okay. In Hindi, we have Jugad, is that?
Oh, Jugad, yeah.
Yeah, Jugad. So,
yeah. By hook or by crook kind of thing. I don't know whether you have that thing over there.
Yeah, by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to happen by hook or by crook. You can say,
we're going to get it done.
In Hindi, yeah. And you know this Welsh thing. You know, we did this the other day, the blue smile.
Ah, yes, Glaswen.
Glaswen?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. And that's a blue smile. That's actually was on the quiz. And maybe I got it out of your book and didn't even realize I was plagiarizing you. But sorry. Sorry for that. But that's a blue smile to the Welsh. And a blue smile means what?
So basically it's a smile that is sarcastic or mocking. And I feel like you get this a lot these days because people are trying to make the right impression. And insincere smiles.
Yeah. A blue smile is something sarcastic you're getting from someone. Yeah. Some sarcastic vibe or mocking, whatever. But why blue? Do we know that?
So you can't say it's green with envy because it's blue, can you? Blue. I don't know. It's cold, isn't it? Cold color.
That could be it. It means something. We know that.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more in here, too, than so much. Was any of the words that surprised you or stay with you the most or seem to have the most meaning to you personally?
Well, one of the ones I really like is another Japanese one, Buketo, which is the essentially kind of staring to the distance without really thinking much at all, which happens quite a lot. that one, and obviously the coffee one we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. What about in Morocco, where you spend so much of your time? Is there a word down there that's kind of unique?
Arabic. Well, one of the Arabic ones in here, Samar. They definitely do a lot of that, you know, staying up all night with friends and having a great time. In Morocco, they don't want to do much else. But, and then the really sort of heartbreaking Arabic one, Yaa Bani, which is a bit morbid. Essentially, you don't want to die before another person because you don't know how you're going to continue on without them.
Yeah.
So, Arabic is also very poetic.
It is very poetic. What is that word again?
Yaa Bani.
Yeah, that means you'd like to die before they do.
Yeah.
Because you'd miss them too much.
Exactly.
That's a good one. I'm going to use that one sometime. But if you say it in English, it doesn't sound quite as good. It sounds a little bit...
Yeah, a bit muddled. Yeah.
And your drawing, by the way, your illustrations are just wonderful. Because I read somewhere about you, you said that you were a writer by profession and an illustrator by accident?
Yes.
How did that occur?
Well, I was going to study English, and I interned for this startup company, Mapsia. These are the guys who were in Morocco, and began to do a few bits of illustration here and there for them, and it kind of really, I don't know, it just... People seem to like it. They want to do, they wanted me to illustrate more, so I did, and I carried on.
Yeah. Did you not know that you could draw? I mean, we can't really show them here, but we put some online or something. There are gorgeous illustrations. Had you no idea that you could draw before you had to do it?
In my head, illustrators and artists were always people at school who were always drawing on the desk, and they were always in the sidelines of things. Always hang around a sketchbook, and I just wasn't like that. That was my idea of an artist or an illustrator, but I guess not. I mean, I knew I could draw something. I just... a book was interesting. It was a challenge.
Yeah. Imagine you have other talents you probably haven't even discovered yet because you haven't had to do them.
True. I think it's the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I hope so.
This illustration for the French one for the... I'll let you say the word, having the color of a faded dying leaf.
Oh, Fillmore.
Yeah, but it's a gorgeous illustration.
That's one of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I took like 2 years of French.
Uh-huh.
So it's the only thing I can talk about here as far as any foreign languages, really, in college. And I never got very good at it because I couldn't do the lip things you had to do, so. And I was a guy and afraid to speak like that, Anyhow, but... I loved it when we did the reading in French because the French have a phrase for everything.
They do. They're very protective of their language.
Yeah, I think the food is good, but I think their phrases are almost better than the food. And I found that so cool, and that's what I found cool about your book as well, because it really it gives you a little bit of an insight, anyhow.
Yeah, just enough to pique your interest.
Yeah, to pique your interest. Lost in Translation is the book. Ella Frances Sanders, thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure was mine.
Ella Sanders in London right now. That's the book, Lost in Translation. And, okay. I pressed several buttons there. One of those should do something. Very good, actually. I think you'll enjoy it. Should you pick that up? Hey.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi. How you doing?
So you didn't like your new microphone there, huh?
No. How many microphones do I need?
I don't know. They had a pool going in the booth back there.
How long would it last?
How long would it last?
Yeah.
I think it lasted less than.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could ask me about some of these things. See something that looks like a gun pointed at you from behind you. Screen. You wonder.
It's a little weird looking. Yeah. And you know, it's called a shotgun mic.
So. Oh, it's a shotgun, yeah.
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 Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the shot, but it should be pointed towards the audience then. Don't you think? Shotgun mic.
Yeah.
Remember Les Crane? Remember the Les Crane show? This is a long time ago. Anyone remember Les Crane had a late night show about, it's only about 40 years ago now. Anyhow, he was supposed to be like a hip, young, late night guy, one of the first ones, Les Crane. And his thing was he had a shotgun mic. So he would stand up just in front of an audience and he pointed at people.
Yeah.
It was like, it was really kind of aggressive and stuff. And that was supposed to make his career. And it lasted about 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
The Les Crane show. There's some. Mr. Shotgun Mike. Okay, so how are things going? Good? Anything got to promote here? What's going on? Are you playing weddings and banquets? And
oh, yeah. All that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. We were at the Federal Building this week.
Federal Building.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Did you have someone representing you or not?
No. We didn't need any representation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, tonight Jeff's playing at Blue in Milwaukee, the Top of the Pfister with Manny Ellis.
Top of the Pfister. Yeah, well, Top of the Pfister, see, with Manny Ellis. Great. That'll be good.
Top of the Pfister.
Top of the Pfister. They fixed it all up, you know.
They did?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you know the Everly Brothers got chopped their first song, which I don't know which one it was, Wake Up Little Susie or one of those.
The Top of the Pfister?
At the Pfister Hotel.
Really?
Because the guy and his wife, his husband-wife team, you know, who wrote most of their song, she worked there.
Oh.
And they went up to the room, and the guy just took it up to them and said, this is a song we think you should do. And, and then they did. They wrote all their great songs.
Wow.
But that was the Pfister Hotel. Put that with Les Crane and all the other trivia that you get here.
Another obscure.
Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee. And you might hear something like that going on, is what I'm saying, if you go see Jeff and Manny Ellis tonight. And so this song here.
This is a song called They Can't Take That Away From Me.
Okay. Of course they can, but still.
Yeah.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
That'll never happen. Keep your bass. I don't want to play it anyway. Never did. Would you say hi to our friends who are camping in northern Wisconsin? Have you got a phone? Do they have a phone? What? No one's listening in northern Wisconsin to this now. What? Camping?
Yes, they're on their way camping.
On their way to where?
I'm not sure. Somewhere up north, they told
me. Word for that in Wisconsinese about going camping. You don't know where.
Yeah. Well, we had dinner with them the other night, and they said they were going to be driving up north today, and they would listen. And
okay.
So we want to say hi.
Okay. Why don't you identify yourself in case they're wondering who it is that's talking about that?
This is Marcia, and I'm saying hi to Jerry and Christine.
Okay. You want to say anything? You're.
I'm Mike. I'm related to her by marriage. Hi to Christine and Jerry.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Huh?
They better be listening.
Okay. All right. We're wasting all our time, really, to communicate with two people. You can just pick up the phone and call or something. And really, the show ground to a halt. Did you notice that? But you said hi to them while they're upstairs going up. You don't even know where they're going, camping and stuff. Have you ever had choke cherry pie? I had one my first and last piece in Nebraska. Angela J. Clark says, from Kell, Illinois. choke, Jerry? And did you?
Yeah.
You choked on it?
Yeah, Kevin
could wait. Okay, wait a second. This is going to be worth it, isn't it? I got to walk all the way through there and come down to find out about choke cherry pie. I thought you weren't supposed to eat choke cherries, weren't they? How are you?
Good.
I see. And then, are you Angela J. Clark from Kell, Illinois? Guys, you can stand up here. So, well, you have to stand. Otherwise, I have to sit down. We could do it either way. Would you rather I sat down?
Yeah.
Okay, please. I'll sit down. Oh, let's break format. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you from, you're from Illinois. What were you doing in Nebraska?
We used to go there when we were kids on a vacation. Mm-hmm. That's when I had the pie.
And are you being plural, yourself plural? Is the we you? We used to go there, so is it a royal, the royal kind of we?
Family, yeah. And grandma and great uncle. That'd be nine.
So are they from Nebraska originally? Is that what you said?
Well, some of them moved out there, and our bunch moved back to Illinois. Yeah. They didn't like it.
No, because of the choke cherry pie in particular?
That's all they had as far as fruit goes, I think.
The choke cherries.
Yeah.
Those are those things that your mom tells you not to eat. Aren't they growing like on a bush or something, aren't they?
No, they're on a tree.
They're on a tree. Okay. And you didn't care for it? I mean, in all those years, you never had a choke cherry pie?
No, I never heard of them.
Really?
Uh-uh.
There's no family lore about them or legend?
No, I helped them pick them, and then we had to
see
them.
Those little cherries like that, and they're hard, and they're kind of...
Yeah, and they made pie out of them.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them anywhere else.
Don't they have like seeds in them and stems and all?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's probably what chokes you.
Okay, so you finally, after all these years, then you had a choke cherry pie, and what was your reaction to it?
Well, it was juicy and kind of flat tasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know why nobody else makes them.
Now you do. That's not worth all the trouble.
I guess that's it, yeah.
Sara Lee, you know, for a few dollars, and you're in business.
Kind of like hickory nuts. They're too hard to get out of the shell.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you do with them if you do get them out of the shell?
I don't know. I never do that.
No. Don't have those in Kell, Illinois?
Either. Yeah, right in the yard.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
I live in a 5-acre woods.
Well, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Get out in the city very often.
Well, you're doing great. You know, we got a little something to help wash that down, don't we? That choke cherry.
We do.
Pie.
Yeah.
What goes good with that?
How about some wines from the Wollersheim Winery?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, choke cherry wine. Very nice to meet you. I gotta go now. I was just getting comfortable, but I think. Would you rather have a zoo, a hospital, or a dam named after you? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. It's not, none of it's going to happen, but Feldman Dam sounds pretty darn good. Yeah, okay. Let's see. What is the name of the statue on top of the Wisconsin State Capitol? Used to be Forward. Miss Forward, but, you know, she's Miss Backwards now. So... Now we got something here who's concerned about all this glutton-free food. That'd be Richard Morey from Middleton. Are you on a glutton-free diet, Richard? He's down there waving his hand. Obviously, he thought about this before coming here today. So. Yeah, a lot of that there. Glutton-free food. There he is right down there. Excuse me, I'm just going to get in here. Past the two brothers who are not really at a family reunion.
Yes, definitely on a glutton-free diet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you a glutton previously?
Of some things, yes, I must admit. Yeah.
So what aren't you eating then? Like everything?
I'm eating everything in moderation, I would imagine.
But are you on a gluten-free diet as well?
No, I'm not. This is just my, dedication to whoever it was.
My kids are all gluten-free. No one even knows what gluten is. But they're all avoiding it, you know, and I don't... Is it a good thing? I'm not sure.
For some people, it's a very good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with gluten...
Yeah, my youngest son's a celiac, so...
Okay, yeah. See, but that's diagnosed and everything. But these are all kids who just think they should be gluten-free now.
Yeah, that's kind of a question, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much for the glutton-free. That was a breakthrough for all of us. Okay, I'm right with you. Let's just say a quick hello, though, to the two brothers here who are here for the reunion. That's not a reunion. And they were, yeah. So we got, your name is?
Daniel.
Daniel and?
John.
And John. And is there like a big celebration? But it's not really a reunion. I know you don't want to overpush it.
We had it last night.
Oh, yeah. What did that entail?
Irish beer and whiskey.
Irish whiskey as well?
Yes.
And how did that go? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Did you reminisce while drinking? Or you...
Yeah, we reminisced and then got a big headache in the morning.
Which was also kind of reminiscing in a way.
Yes.
Very good. Well, nice to have you guys here. I'm sure we'll find more about this as we go on here, especially the whole Navy, your dad being in the Navy and thing. Okay, so we have to play the What Do You Know? We don't have to, but I thought we would play the What Do You Know quiz now, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. In order to do that, if you can stand up here, sir, you are?
Rob Gibbons.
Rob Gibbons, and you want to take over here? And,
sure.
Who can play, cannot play.
Okay, these are the four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, though the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two seems less like a disclaimer and more like some sort of a political sports comment.
You're
but
not
anyway,
a commentator.
No,
you're
I'm saying. Okay. Well, you tell me if this is a disclaimer. South Florida. That's not one of the Florida football teams you have to worry about, is it? And it's either optional or optimal. Go Badgers.
Yeah. You don't have to. You're from Kansas City.
Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All options, no, not options, opinions. All opinions expressed on... It's not glasses, it's dyslexia.
Okay.
All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you very much. You're a good man. I don't care what anyone says. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them. No, I don't mean applaud. I mean, raise them. Thank you very much for that. But come on, we gotta. Come on. What about the rest of you here? We can't let these people dominate our show. The same three people are. You know, come on. We got. There you go. We're talking about a young individual. Come on over here, if you would please, because it is the hope of the future right here. How are you?
I'm good.
And you are?
I'm Caitlin Mularkey.
Yeah, from around here or where?
Yep, just down the street.
Down the street there? Are you going to school now?
No, I'm a teacher.
Oh, you're a teacher. Okay. And what are you teaching?
I teach fifth grade.
Fifth grade! Fifth grade is the best grade! Fourth grade's pretty good, though, too. Caitlin, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I listen to you every Sunday while we're making pancakes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
While making pancakes. Come on up here. Caitlin, please, join me. Yes. Have a seat right there, if you would. And who's making these pancakes?
My husband.
Your husband makes the pancakes. That's a good marriage. We call that a good marriage. I do all the cooking, though, in our family.
I cook. He does the baking and breakfast.
He just does the pancakes.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to have a specialty, I guess. Okay, Caitlin. So you're teaching fifth grade?
I am.
And where is that?
In Lake Mills.
In Lake Mills. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Do you like fifth graders?
Sometimes.
They're getting dangerously close to being...
Prepubescent, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of pre-pubescent at that point. Now, fourth grade is pretty good, because there's still, you know, there is something happens there.
Some so innocence,
Something between, 9 and 10 occurs, which is, I don't know, not my problem.
you gotta it's my problem.
You got to deal with it. How are kids just, like, these days, how are kids that age? They like to learn, they like to read, do they enjoy it?
Yeah, they love to read, they love fantasy. They're growing up too fast.
Yeah.
Definitely. Compared to how I was in fifth grade, yeah. I feel like they're too adult.
Really?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Just technology and the conversations they have and how they dress.
Yeah. Do you have to bag and tag their phones?
I did that yesterday. Yeah, confiscated two.
Two of them?
Yep.
You get to keep them? Or?
No, I took a phone away from a kid because a girl next to him said, he's on a cell phone, he's doing something inappropriate. And I looked at his phone and he was reading Bible verses.
That's pretty inappropriate in a school. Yeah. Public school, it's public school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. He was doing Bible verses on his phone. That's kind of cute, though.
I know, you can't
make exceptions for anything. What can you do? So then what do? You take their phones, you put them in a bag, and you tag them?
Put it in my office or in my desk drawer and get it at the end of the day.
They get it at the end of the day?
Yep.
Then the next day he's back reading Bible verses in class.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, but I don't think, when did my kids get a cell phone? They sort of started midway, they were already mid-level kids when cell phones became obligatory, but, then they justified saying, well, you're coming to pick me up, how am I going to tell you I'm there? Yeah, so.
I was in college before I got a cell phone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was menopausal. Male menopausal when I got my first phone. In fact, I got my daughter's old phone, She said, okay, so I got it, and I put it in my drawer, and I left it there and turned it off so the battery would stay fresh. She said, Dad, take your phone with you and turn it on at all times. I said, okay, sure, honey. So I turned it on and left it in my drawer. And
then,
but you like teaching?
Enjoy it? Love it, yeah.
Yeah. What are you guys doing right now in class?
In class?
Yeah.
We are learning about U.S. landmarks and symbols and social
landmarks.
Studies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Feldman Dam.
Yeah. I'll add that.
Originally called Hoover Dam. No, Feldman Dam is one of the largest structures. Someone out there plays along with you. You know how this works?
Yeah.
Okay, and how do we do that?
People at home who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669.
Okay.
And you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, let's ask them a qualifying question. Let's say... where is Topeka? Hi, Corey. The question is, where is Topeka?
Topeka's in Kansas.
It's in Kansas. How do you like that? Congratulations. You qualify for that. How did you happen to know that, Corey?
Well, I do live here.
Oh, you live in Topeka, Kansas. And what are you doing out there these days, Corey?
I work for the VA, actually.
Oh, you do? Yeah. You got the weekend off, though?
Yeah, weekends off.
Yeah, so what are you going to do today? Anything fun?
I'm going to play the What Do You Know quiz.
Okay, but after that, when you're coming down from that, then you got to do something, Fishing or something, or just biking, or?
I'm kind of I play games a lot. Computer games, things
like
that.
Oh, yeah. What are you on, Candy Crush or something now?
I play a game called Hearthstone. It's like a
fantasy
card game kind of a thing.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, we'll get right back to that, I'm sure. here's your teacher, Caitlin, right here, who's going to confiscate that device from you. Caitlin.
Hi, Corey.
Hi.
You are a team right now, so use all your wherewithal in unison. And what do we got there in terms of...
Categories. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Corey, what would you like? Pick the first one.
I like science.
What was that last thing you did? Okay. All right, this is a little complicated. Let's see. Two or more helpings of blank a week will help women to combat blank. Okay. I'll read that again. Two or more helpings of blank a week will help women to combat blank. Is it A, red meat and men? B, yogurt and yoga pants? Or C, fish and hearing loss?
I would have to go with fish and hearing loss.
Fish and hearing loss, he said.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
Okay, fish and hearing loss it is. That's right. I like yogurt and yoga pants myself, but
that's one right and zero wrong.
All right, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Caitlin?
I got to do things you should have learned in school.
School, yes. Spell or hack up, phlegm.
I believe it starts with P-H.
Yep.
Yeah.
P-H-L-E-G-M.
Oh, teacher. Go along with that, Corey. You got the G in phlegm, yes.
Yeah.
That's actually what you're hacking up is that G in phlegm. It's hard to hack it up for most people.
That's two right and zero wrong. And the categories left are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Corey, back to you.
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. British Prime Minister David Cameron had to apologize for saying the Queen did what after getting the news about Scotland. Made all the headlines around the world, I think. The Queen had a reaction, but it was perhaps the way he phrased it about Scotland staying in the UK.
At least she said something about they should be careful what they choose or something of that nature.
Yeah, but he characterized her reaction as something else. It wasn't quite queenly. He said she what, getting the news. Did you read that?
I didn't.
No?
She sighed or?
Okay, I guess not. She purred. He said she purred. Which is not what you say about Queen
that's
Elizabeth.
That's an unsettling image.
Yes. So that would be...
That's two right and one wrong. And the categories left are people, places, or odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This is it. Does Olive Garden salt its pasta water or doesn't it? Very controversial.
Olive Garden. I just heard about this. I believe they don't, actually.
He believes that they
don't. I am going to agree.
Yes, they don't, and it's caused quite an uproar in the food community. Holy cow!
Caitlin, you can find out why a mountain in Ecuador is as high as you can get on the planet Earth in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, and fun facts, and everything else you ever knew you never wanted to know from source books or something like that. Corey, turn every day into a What Do You Know quiz-winning day like our audience does with Deep Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and later enjoy smooth, rich, and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Deep Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right, and each of you will enjoy a mashup of Elizabethan England and Star Wars and Ian Dusher's William Shakespeare's The Empire Strikes Back from Quirk Books. Congratulations to you both.
Corey, hang out and make sure you get that stuff. Thanks for playing.
Hey, Oklahoma, What Do You Know is heading your way. We'll be at the Oklahoma City Community College on Saturday, October 25th. We got the date right this week for a special live broadcast. That's October 25th at the Oklahoma City Community College. For ticket information, call the box office 405-682-7579 or just go to notmuch.com. Meanwhile, if you're looking to keep the laughs going, click over to notmuch.com where you can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
I think you're a viable candidate.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah.
That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. Yeah, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a hilarious hotline. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Okay.
And now, the man who says, people, let's use our phone voice, it's Michael Feldman.
Well, you know, each week at this time, an actual memo sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. And this is not a memo, though. But so we're going to use it. It's from the police blotter of the Waukesha Freeman that someone sent us in, and it is kind of special, so let's call it a memo. 2014, Tuesday, 5:58 p.m., an elderly man got stuck inside a dumpster behind Dunkin' Donuts on Grandview Boulevard. The man had eaten at the restaurant earlier with his wife, who left her dentures there. The man decided to look for them in the dumpster. He was removed and suffered no injuries. Thank you so much for that memo. It's happy news. He got out of the dumpster. They didn't mention the dentures, if they were in fact in there, so we don't know. But
it seems like the great question.
Yeah.
The great remaining mystery.
I guess it's unanswered. Yeah. One of those unanswered questions. So, you know, if you have a, if you have something like that, police blotter or anything you want to say to us, or a memo, an actual memo, where, what should you do with it?
Well, you could mail it old school to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin.
No, they wouldn't do that.
53706. Or send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos.
Okay. I have a little thing. Actually, I wrote something, and I don't usually read things I wrote, and neither does anyone else, actually. But it's on this voter ID thing. It's kind of, you know, we've got to do. If you're not familiar with the Wisconsin situation, is that they said we had to have voter IDs to vote. And then it got held up in court, and they said, no, it's not, wasn't going to happen. And then just before the elections now, they said, okay, you got to have your voter ID or you can't vote. So it's a little bit, everything's up in the air right now. So I did write a little thing. It's called Voter ID and Me. So I offer this to you for what it's worth, which is probably nothing. I'm not clear on why I have to prove who I am in order to vote at St. James School, where I've shown up at the same gym in bake sale. I have to say the brownies are a long way from the homemade ones of the 80s for over 25 years now. Given the number of losing candidates I've backed in this time, I'm a little surprised my picture isn't on the wall of fame downstairs. Then I wouldn't need an ID. The other day, Danielle Watts, the actress from Django Unchained, was stopped by an L.A. cop thinking she was a prostitute, and Ms. Watts refused to produce an ID, even her Screen Actors Guild card, merely because she had done nothing wrong. When you think of it, Americans have long been spared the give me your papers demand from Eastern European authorities, endemic to 1940s movies, back when someone asking you for your papers was shorthand for being in a totalitarian state, even if one on a Hollywood back lot. Now, perhaps the mere fact that the poll worker working the A through F's is a neighbor in my polling place who goes right to my name while asking me when they're going to finish my porch should not be enough to allow me to waste my vote on yet another long shot. But heck, why should familiarity only breed contempt? Back in Bush the Elder, I remember producing an MG&E bill, which I have right here, current one, Madison Gas and Electric, with my name and address where I purported to live, and getting waved right in to vote. Now someone rifling through my garbage could have produced the very same, if soiled, bill and voted in my place at St. James, but not only would he have not gotten past, let's call her Sarah, but his not stopping at the bake sale table and examining each and every brownie would have been a huge red flag. It's too easy to see irony in the fact that the only case of voter fraud in Wisconsin cited by the Supreme Court in the voter ID discussion was the guy in Milwaukee who voted 13 times for Scott Walker. I'm just saying. Only one they cited, who, due to temporary amnesia, could not even remember the absentee ballots or voting as his own and his girlfriend's son. Terrible thing, temporary amnesia, especially in soap operas. But rather than inspiring a war on temporary amnesia, we, who had done nothing wrong, had to get state-issued IDs so we could know who we were even when we were temporarily didn't. Everyone, even, in fact, especially those of us who had never even voted for Scott Walker even once. Renegade that I am, I'm thinking of bringing in my MG&E bill in November, as much for a joke as a protest. But poll watchers now can get close enough to see the outstanding balance. So I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, though. This time, I'm buying my brownies first. There you have it. Voter ID and me. Take it for what it's worth. My bill is available. I'll put it online if you want to see it. Okay. And then let's see. We got all the news that is around here. We do a little thing here and now. We had all the news that wasn't. Wasn't funny, apparently, but all the news that is around here, and that's they caught an ancient sturgeon in the Milwaukee River. Thought that's worth noting. I don't know how old it was. It didn't look very big. It was about, you know, 3 inches long, but the sturgeon back in the Milwaukee River, which if you've ever looked at the Milwaukee River, is kind of astounding.
Was it a keeper?
No, it was not a keeper. It was about 3 inches long, but apparently they put $5 billion into getting that one 3-inch sturgeon. But it's a good thing, so I thought I'd mention it. The $1 million crop of marijuana seized in Dane County, you heard about that. Here's something from up north, I think. Yeah, in Waupaca County. And it's about a guy who shot a big bear up there. But there's a correction. It said, Manawa's Arndt takes 780-pound bear of a lifetime. And it should have read, Manawa's Arndt relieves 780-pound bear of a lifetime. It's a beautiful bear, man. Shot it. A Waters student, Fond du Lac, a staff at Waters Elementary School in Fond du Lac, locked a student out of his classroom during a drill. They had a lockdown drill, and they locked him out of the classroom, and he suffered trauma. I'm a 6-year-old boy. I'm locked out of my classroom. I'm feeling pretty good, actually, and I go down to the sweet shop. But, yeah, it happened. Yeah, they wouldn't let him in because you know, can't. That was the drill. 6-year-old boy who was locked out of his classroom. The student was in the bathroom when the lockdown drill went into effect because there are no speakers in there. He did not hear the announcement that a drill was taking place. When he returned to his classroom, the blinds were drawn, it was dark outside, and the police had surrounded the building. He knocked, no one answered. He knocked again, and there was no answer. He tried other rooms, no one let him in. He was terrified and confused. And so there's, I think, a class action suit, Brent. 5 6-year-olds everywhere on that one. What happened? The Appleton police defend acquisition of a military truck. They have a armored personnel carrier in Appleton now. The police chief, Jim Lewis, forcefully defended the acquisition of an armored military carrier by saying, it's our position that it's irrelevant that crime has dropped in Appleton, he said. This is about special case incidents, which have tripled over the years. Sewage problems, for example. If you've got to go through a lot of water, you know, if you get the backup there, then some flooding in Appleton occurs very often. So there's defense. And Dispensergate. Oh, here's another one. Every scandal needs a name. This one is Dispensergate. June, Department of Revenue's Madison headquarters were told via email that the new hands-free paper towel and soap dispensers would be installed in bathrooms and kitchenettes throughout the building, replacing existing devices. No reason was given. An employee we'll call Dirty Thumb, the Dispensergate equivalent of Deep Throat, was intrigued. The name on the new dispensers was In Motion, a brand of Georgia-Pacific owned by the Koch brothers. Dispensergate, headed by the Koch brothers, backers of conservative causes, among other things. So they went online now to find out about how much these would cost, and apparently they cost $499 each, and that's not to buy them. That is, they must be subleased. So they're subleased for $499, and only Georgia-Pacific N-Motion product can be used in these dispensers, which also have to be leased, leased from the company. And they're $128.75 each from Georgia Pacific. That's about it. Dispensergate. Oh, authorities warn drivers to beware of deer this fall, not news. News is authorities warn deer to beware of drivers this fall. So. A man accused of using guns to steal window tint in Milwaukee. Occurred on Wednesday on Capitol Drive. the men were caught when one of the gentlemen attempted to conceal the window tint inside his pants. That's all the news that isn't from, that is from around here, actually. So it wasn't much this week, but it's all true. And I thought, well, let's take some opportunity to go to the hotline right now and get the news from around you, all the news that is around you. If you have some news around you, it may be kind of fun stuff or nothing heavy, because the news is so bad now. We have to look for good news, and I know there's good news out there. So let's hear from it, all the news that is around you. If you want to give us a call here, our number is?
Our number is 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Yes, all the news that is around you. Let us know what's going around you, especially in the lighthearted vein. Things are actually going right for change, because we need a little enlightening news from around the country, around the world. And the phones are ringing off the hook right now. Or is that just glare on that light there? Yeah, just a little glare from the light. All the news that is around you, particularly if it's good, we'd like to hear about your personal news, family news. We'll be glad to hear about it. Probably some new event that you want to discuss with us. And let us know all the news that is. That number again is?
1-800-942-5669. That's 5669.
5669. All the news that is around you. And near, oh, yeah, the phones are lighting up now. It's like Christmas here. And Eau Claire, there's some Eau Claire news. Let's see all the news that is in Eau Claire right now from Jan. Hey, Jan.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Well, that's good. You got some good news or some news that is there from Eau Claire?
From Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yep. Yes.
We just did a count of how many people were fishing on the Chippewa River today.
Oh, good. Count on fishing on the Chippewa River, and what'd you come up with?
We came up with about 15 people around the dam in Chippewa.
15 on the dam. How many does a dam hold?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
There's about 5 different spots all around the dam where they could fish.
Yeah. Are they elbow to elbow is the question, because guys don't like that.
Not too bad. They had boats and cars. We count 2 people per car.
Okay. Are you doing this for law enforcement or some other? Are you with the DNR or something?
Doing this for...
Oh, you are. Yeah. And then what do they do about that? They put more lights on it or something?
I'm not quite sure what they do about that. They're just counting to see how many people are fishing on there. I'm not sure why they want to know.
Okay, so 15. And does this happen every year?
Well, I think they do it a couple of times a year.
Yeah. You know what the last numbers were? Anything like 15, more or less? Or?
I'd have to go out to ask my husband, and he's hanging out in the garage as they do in Wisconsin here.
Okay. All right. More good news. Husband's in the garage. All right. Thank you very much, Jan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Cayman on the way to Asheville with some good news from... No, I guess not. And then Becky, though, is in Carterville, Illinois, with all the news that is in Carterville. Hey, Becky.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful because I just had pancakes at... The Lions Club Pancake Day in Carbondale.
Oh, always
Illinois.
A good thing to do.
Yeah,
Lions Club.
I thought that was good news.
What do you think the secret is to their pancakes, those Lions?
Well, here in Carbondale, I don't know if they have these everywhere, but they have this really neat rotary, now not to be confused with the Rotary Club, but this rotary thingy that... One fellow squirts the pancake syrup or the pancake dough onto, and then it slowly rotates around to the other guy who's flipping, and that just happened to be my orthodontist who gave me a straight smile 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, too.
Yeah. So something that the orthodontist is doing to the batter, you think, or what?
Maybe. I think he just smiles at it.
He smiles at it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. So that's in Carbondale at the Lions Club. Is that going on all day?
I think until maybe 1 o'clock, sometime this afternoon.
Okay. So if you're anywhere near Southern Illinois, the Salukis down there in Carbondale, get over to that Lions Club immediately. Well, thanks very much. That's very nice to hear.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. Michael's in Tel Aviv. All the news that is in Tel Aviv, Michael. What's going on?
Well, hi, Michael. Hi. As you may know, it's high holidays here.
Of course.
They're just ending right now.
Yeah.
And so there really hasn't been much going on, but I'm looking forward to next week when it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Because on Yom Kippur here, nobody drives, and so everybody goes out, bicycles, roller skates, walks on the street, because there's no traffic, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like a party time. So have you got a big meal you're going to now, a big Shabbos meal?
No, I mean, I've been working all weekend. I've been doing my traditional thing of being the worst Jew in the Holy Land.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Well, thank you for all. That's all the news that is around Tel Aviv right now, I guess. Looking for the no traffic.
All right. Have a good day, Michael.
All right, nice talking to you, Michael. And then we got Carol right here in Madison. All the news that is in Madison. Carol, what you got for us?
Well, I've ridden in, counting the car I'll ride in today, I've ridden in 8 cars in 3 days, which is a personal record.
All right, now start again, a little slower this time.
Okay, Thursday I rode in 2 cars.
Yeah, Thursday you rode in 2 cars.
One was Ann and one was with Betsy.
Okay, and
yesterday was 5 cars.
5 cars.
And that was with Pat, and then my own car, and then Bill's car, and then Eileen's car, and then the Metro bus driver's car.
Eileen's. You drove in the Metro bus driver's car?
I rode in the, yes, because I missed my transfer, and he took me to my destination.
In his own car?
Yes.
What is it about you that makes people want to drive you around?
I have a white cane.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, that explains it then. But this is a record.
I'm riding in my brother and sister-in-law's car.
Yeah. Okay.
So there'll be 8 cars in 3 days.
I'm pretty sure that's a record.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thank you for sharing that with us, Carol.
Okay.
That's a great day. Great day. Okay. A lot of cars. We got. See, there's so much going on, news everywhere, and we never hear about it because it gets forced off the pages by all this other stuff. And Ryan's in Salisbury, Maryland. Hey, Ryan.
Yes, hi.
What's all the news that is in Salisbury?
Well, I'm just finishing ordering 2.5 tons of food for the food bank in my church.
Oh, fantastic. Wonderful. And, where does that come from?
It comes from the Maryland Food Bank.
From the Maryland Food Bank.
And we buy it from them, and they ship it to us over at our church, and we give them out on Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
And about 170 families.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear it, Ryan.
Yeah.
So that's pretty. That's your whole weekend, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of the weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic that you do that. What do you do when you get a chance to relax, Ryan?
Not much. I read a lot and work on my computer.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
That's all the news from Salisbury, Maryland. We got Doug here in Chattanooga. See, there's news all over is what I'm trying to say. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's the news
really
in Chattanooga?
Great, really, really great to talk to you, Michael. I listen to you every Saturday. I've been listening to you for years. So
thank you.
Thank you for all your great broadcasts.
Oh, thank you. What's going on in Chattanooga, Doug?
Well, we've got the Ironman, the International Ironman competition.
Oh, you got that too, huh?
And
are you in it?
No, I'm afraid not.
No.
My days have passed doing that.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you that my wife was recently elected as the National Mother of the Year.
No kidding.
That's right.
You're married to the Mother of the Year. Isn't that a lot of... That's
a
challenge, isn't it?
I am. And that's no reflection on me.
No. I mean, has it gone to her head at all? Or I mean,
not in the slightest. In fact, I have to kind of force her to do interviews, which she's doing right now.
Oh, she is?
For one of the local papers.
Yeah. How is that determined who's the Mother of the Year in Chattanooga?
Well, American Mothers is a United Nations organization.
Oh.
And they had a national meeting, and my wife was present, and she was elected.
Yeah. Did she have to put in a resume or statements from the children and that sort of thing?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The kids all back her up pretty good?
Oh, absolutely. But she was representing the state of Tennessee. So
oh, I see.
That's how that's done. There's a representative from each of the states of the yeah. United States.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations. Our best. What's your wife's name?
Jerry.
Jerry, okay. Jerry, congratulations. And I know she's on the other line right now talking to people. That's fantastic.
Right. Let's so I just wanted to celebrate that with all of you.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Okay, great talking to you.
Very cool.
Take care.
Very okay. cool. And in Norman, Oklahoma, not too far from Oklahoma City, where we will shortly be, is Rod. And, Rod, what's happening in Norman?
Hey, Michael, I'll try to make this quick.
Okay.
You remember I won the quiz about a year and a half ago. I couldn't spell canadal, but we still won.
Uh-huh.
I still can't spell canadal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I won. That was Saturday morning. Saturday night, my wife and I went to the casino. And I won $8,000. You know, I'm having a great week. Went back to the casino Sunday and won another
$1,200. No.
So Tuesday was my day off. I worked my day off. So
holy
cow. All over the time. That was great. So, you know, I'm having a drink. I'm putting some laundry in the washer. I sit back and trip over a full box of cat litter. And fall on a planter, and I break two ribs.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm going, oh, I can't breathe. I was afraid I'd punctured the lung. And I get up, trying to breathe. I go to wipe off my back end, and there was a cat poop on my rear end. I landed in the cat box. So, you know, It was a mixed week. Yeah, it was a great week, but then I was off for 6 weeks because of the ribs. So.
Yeah.
I wish I could see you when you come to Oklahoma City, but I have to work.
Yeah.
Have a great time here.
So that broke your streak. I guess. You're on a real roll there between this and the casino.
I was.
And then that damn cat litter put you in the planter. And...
Yeah.
You okay
it
now?
It was a real...
Are you okay now, Ron?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm at work, so that's why I just wanted to call real quick and let you know. But it's your time here.
Okay, thanks, Ron. That was mostly really great news. All right. Bye.
Thank you.
One more here, Carthage, Missouri. They've been waiting. Debbie, see all the good stuff that's happening. Of course, there's always the cat litter and the planter situations, and we run into those ourselves. In Carthage, Missouri, Debbie? Hi, what's happening around all the news that is of Carthage, Missouri and surrounding?
Well, I'm calling with happy news. We are having a baby shower for our friend Serena, and this is her first baby, and we're decorating in pink and lavender. And my daughter, who's 19, and I are having this shower. And so it's just a wonderful event to celebrate, and we're expecting about 40 or 50 people.
Yeah. So is it when? What time is it happening? Soon?
Well, 2 o'clock. So we are currently decorating, and my daughter's really good at decorating, so she made these cute little puffballs, and we've got pink and lavender elephants and a banner, a welcome banner, and advice for the mom. And this is really cute. This is a new idea for these newer moms.
What?
One of the fun games you do at the baby shower is you write a message on diapers.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that before either, but you write like a nice little inspirational message to the mom so that when she's changing a diaper in the middle of the night, she pulls out this diaper and here, you know, was from the baby shower that you'd written this little message on the diaper.
Yeah. I'd never heard that either. I wonder who came up with that idea. And it would have you rubbing your eyes in the middle of the night as you're doing one of those diaper changes, that's for sure.
Well, that's really kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm an older mother here, so you know, it's this new stuff. And hey, you know, if they want to do it, then that's great. And
maybe
it will bring her, you know, joy in the middle of the night when she's changing the new baby's diaper.
You mean when the dad is?
Yeah, right.
Might not be so inspirational
for
him. Yeah.
What's that?
I said it might not be so inspirational for him if he sees some message written on a diaper when he's got to get up at 3 a.m.
And it might depend on what the message was, too.
Yeah, definitely. I could think of a few that I wouldn't want to, you know, probably. You shouldn't let me do it, is what I'm saying. It sounds like great. Is this a surprise, by the way? Does she know the shower is happening, or is this?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a surprise.
No.
She gave us a guest list, and a nice long guest list, and it's actually at her house. And so,
so she should know about it.
All the gifts we can just take right down the hall to the nursery, and so.
Sounds great, Debbie.
Anyway.
Have a ball. Congratulations to everybody. Who's having the baby now?
Well, our friend Serena and her husband, John.
Serena and John. Congratulations, both of them and all of you. Thanks very much for that, Debbie. Appreciate it. Have fun.
All right, we will. Thank
you. It's just the beginning of a lifetime of fun.
That's right.
There you have it. All the news that is from all over. Thank you all for calling in. Appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, you got to applaud that. See, doesn't it make you feel better about life in America?
Yeah, there's a lot more going on than, you know, you get from just the regular news.
Yes, I know, because it's you think all the news is about Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
You know?
Or ISIL.
You know? By the way, did you know about Derek Jeter? I never even hardly heard of him until this year, and he was
like, what do you mean? I don't understand. You never heard of Derek Jeter?
Mr. Baseball.
He's like one of the great players.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. I saw his lifetime average. It's okay. Right up there with a good ball player, but I'm saying it's like, you know, come on. It's not Lou Gehrig. You know.
Well, he never did steroids. I mean, he was popular during that era.
That's
very
good. That's very nice.
He didn't bulk up.
But he's in New York. That's why they're all talking about it, you know.
Well, they're talking about Paul Konerko in Chicago. You know, he was 16 years with the
Not like that. They're not going to stop the world and say, what happens now?
No, I know.
If we lose Paul.
Paulie.
Canerco. Anyhow, that's okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
Baseball's
over. It bothers me. Yeah. You know why it bothers me? It goes back to Henry Aaron. Henry Aaron was at the point, you know, he and Willie Mays, two greatest ball players in the world. And Henry Aaron was playing in Milwaukee. Got very low level notice because he's not in New York, you know. Meanwhile, all the guys in New York, Roger Maris, who was actually not a good ball player, but he could hit home runs. Big, you know, and Mickey Mantle and stuff, obviously. But very little about Henry Aaron is because they're not in New York. So someone's in New York, they're just, you know, a legend. You know, and all these other guys are out there.
Yeah.
You know, I still resent that. Huh. Roberto Clemente, one of the greatest ball players.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't in New York. Would have played in New York instead of Pittsburgh.
I've heard of all
would have been legendary. He would have been out there in that last game, and it would have been on all the headlines of the New York Daily News.
Felix Mantilla.
Felix Mantilla, great ball player. Thank you very much. We all got him, I guess.
You know, Bob
Al Kaline. Al Kaline, legend. I know he's a lot. Didn't play in New York. Played in Detroit. Okay, never mind. Why'd you have to bring it up? See,
I didn't know the resentment was there.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot there. Lots there.
Never mention it again.
This little tune here is something that you...
This is Jeff and I's theme.
It's kind of a theme for you guys, isn't it?
Young and Foolish.
Yeah, Young and Foolish. Which one of you is which?
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, that was very funny stuff. I mean, that bass solo. That was really funny. Oh, geez. Okay, now. Oh, you're Rob Gibbons, aren't you? Come on, let's do this again here. You put in a card here, and I don't have too many cards that I can read. Can read yours. Very good. What are you doing? What did you do? You're retired now.
Yeah, I was the president and CEO of a credit union, Mazuma Credit Union.
Mazuma.
Do you know what that means? You should.
No.
It's an old Yiddish word meaning money.
Oh, Mazuma.
Would be a great title for a credit union.
Yeah. Did it work out that way?
It did.
Okay, yeah. How did you decide to start this show with this title? What's the big deal about the title?
Well, I just think it's kind of unique.
I see why I started the show, but why the title?
It's unique. Yeah. Don't you think? I mean, it's a question and then an answer. And then, you know, it's...
It's like Mazuma.
It's very different.
I should have said, what the Mazuma?
You could have said that.
Yeah.
But nobody would have known. Because we used to get phone calls. We'd say, I can't find the place. I've looked for Montezuma Credit Union all over. I'm going, you're a member. You don't even know the name.
Montezuma's Revenge. You probably got that.
Yeah, it's probably something that, yeah.
So I don't, what do you know is just a form of greeting. Does no one else say, what do you know? I mean, it used to be what people said. I wish I could stop every old movie I've watched where the guy says, and somewhere in the movie, or the woman says, well, what do you know? You know, it happens all. It used to be a phrase in English.
She didn't put it in the book, The Lost in Translation.
No, it isn't. I don't know. It could have been in. Okay, so it takes care of that. Anyhow, how will the universe end? Okay.
Well, they used to think that it was expanding a little bit, and now they found out about dark matter and dark energy, and now they think it's expanding faster, and so everything should just pull apart. Not to worry. Trillions of years from now. A long time.
No, I think around. You know, once you retire, you got a lot of time to think about things. And I read what 5 billion years before the Andromeda galaxy wipes us out.
Well, then we don't need to worry.
Yeah, 5 billion years.
The rest of the universe won't matter.
No, because we'll be in the Andromeda galaxy, like it or not. Where does the Milwaukee Brewers' historic collapse rank on the list of all-time Wisconsin sports tragedies? I don't want to go there. Anyone want to go there? Where is Jim? How are you, Jim? Did you take it hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm used to this kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, the Brewers were very Cubs-like this year.
Yeah. First place, and you know, July 1st, and last place, and or no, not, they didn't go to last place because the Cubs were there. You know, when you ever start to fret about the Brewers, just think of the Cubs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah. That was an annual thing, was their collapse. Oh, we got someone here from Alabama, Madison, Alabama. Let's say hello to Alabama. We haven't been there in a while. And it's a nice place to visit. I like Alabama. Can I get you to stand up here? Do you mind? Okay. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. What brings you here?
My brother lives in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to live, like, is there another one in Madison, Mississippi?
It was like he got confused. He and his wife, we said, Madison, and then they moved here, so, yeah.
Is the family required to live in something named Madison somewhere?
Not originally, but yes, now. It's a current requirement.
Fort Madison?
Not yet, but someday. Yeah. We're going to take over. Yeah. The Madison.
What do you do in life as we know it?
Oh, I'm a librarian.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, children's librarian.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
So children still go to a library. That's a good thing.
Lots of them, and they cry, and sometimes they cheer and they laugh. Variety.
Cheer and laugh?
Yeah, in the story time. Yeah.
You do that story time?
I do story times.
What's the big story time book you're doing now?
Oh, there's a lot. Mo Willems is always popular. Elephant and Piggy. You need to explore Elephant and Piggy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome.
Okay.
You could read one next week.
A couple? Is it?
Sometimes you wonder, but... There's a lot of...
It's a little unusual for an elephant and a piggy even to know one another.
Not for children.
Not for children, of course. I know that, but I'm just sort of setting it up.
Yeah. The kids. It's a really small elephant or a really big pig.
And is it kind of a comedy thing? Is it?
Yes. Yeah. Lots of voices.
What's the latest one we should look for in that series?
There's an ice cream one, if you like ice cream. We're in Wisconsin, so maybe that's the one. Yeah.
You're here to visit, of course.
Yes.
But and no other reason.
Nope.
Okay. In Madison, is that near Huntsville?
Yes.
Because I know you're asking where Rocket City is, and it's nowhere near here.
Yeah. Everybody always forgets about Madison, Alabama, but yeah. Rocket City, yeah. Huntsville.
Did you have people who were in the rocket business there in Huntsville in the family?
No.
Not on the rocket side of things.
No, it was a coincidence. Yeah. Libraries.
Libraries.
We've got those in Alabama.
Yeah. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming to Madison, Wisconsin. One of the Madisons. All right. Let's see. Let's just go around here. And how are you doing? Pretty good?
Doing fine.
Yeah. What you got planned for the weekend? Anything fun besides this?
Yes, Kirk. We come to Madison to see you at least once a month.
Once a month you come?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the price that attracts you, or
definitely the price?
The price is good.
Yeah. Payment for your dollar, huh? If you think about it, or at least some.
2 hours, you know.
2 hours.
Can't live without it.
No, really.
She listens to you every day.
Yeah. Yep, and then we go to the farmer's market.
Farmer's market. Shouldn't you start there? Because everything's gone by the time you, now this is over.
No, it's good.
The farmer's market. I go to the bar.
It's a little early, isn't it?
No.
You wait for noon? Whatever happened to that tradition of waiting till noon?
Noon someplace.
Yeah. Now, there's a Wisconsin saying, it's always noon someplace. So that's, and you are?
Roger Powers.
Roger
and Susan.
Well, thank you for coming. So you come once a month, really?
Yeah, really.
They deserve something for that attendance record, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Wait, anything in mind? T-shirts? Board games?
You know,
wine.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, let alone wine. But you probably don't even care for wine, do you?
We love it.
Yeah. Well, then, how about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumée from Wollersheim Winery?
Now they'll stop coming. They got the wine. They will no longer come again. Thank you. Nice to see you. All right, who haven't I harassed? I'm going to go in the back row here because these people always think that they can escape just by sitting back there. It's very much like teaching. All those kids are sitting in the back of the classroom, and then you have to make them move into the front row. Let's see. Hi, how are you?
Good. Good.
What's new?
Not too much.
Yeah. What you got? Anything planned for today going on? Anything?
We came down to see you in the farmer's market and maybe the $100 burger at the airport and a flight.
$100 burger?
Yeah, you get a flight with that.
So where did you come down from?
Winona, Minnesota.
You're the Winona people. Yeah. Okay. I got a bunch of Winona cards here. Who's the one who raises buffaloes?
Right here.
That's you?
Yep.
How's that for a living?
It's okay.
Yeah.
As long as they don't get out.
Yeah. When did you get into buffaloes?
About 5 years ago.
Yeah. What were you in before that?
I was driving truck.
Driving truck. And you saw these buffalo probably on the side of the road and thought, God, that looks easy enough. They just stand there.
Well, my wife wanted me home more, and she seen the ad in the paper for ranch foreman, so she made up in a resume and made me sound real good. Yeah. So I didn't even recognize myself on that. So.
Well, do you have any experience in raising buffaloes or large animals of any sort?
I do about 5 years now.
Yeah. Was it a hard thing to learn to pick up? Are you a quick learner as far as buffalo raising?
Quick learner, yeah.
Buffalo husbandry, would they call it?
Yeah. Just.
Where does a guy go if he wants to, you know, suddenly he's got a buffalo? Is there a few of them? How many buffalo do you have, or is it?
About 100.
That's a lot of buffalo.
It's a lot of buffalo.
It's a plural of buffaloes. Buffaloes. All right, so all of a sudden you got 100 buffaloes on your farmette or farm, and what do you do? Where do you go? Who do you ask?
I don't know.
Find someone pretty quick, though.
Yeah, you just got to kind of make it up as you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, did you grow up maybe on a farm or something? Had some cows and stuff?
Yeah, I did when I was younger. Yeah. Dairy cows. So.
Is it pretty much the same thing?
These are a little meaner.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have the personality that your dairy cow has.
No, you can't just go up and pet them.
And is it working out pretty good? Are you making a killing on this?
I don't think so. No.
Going back into trucking, are you?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, okay, but it's going pretty good, though. Are you involved in this as well?
Got him the job, that's about it.
That's it. So you got 100 buffaloes sitting out there in the yard, and you're washing your hands of the whole thing.
He's the ranch foreman somewhere else. Oh. Yeah, so they're not at our house. They're not at our place, no.
So you don't have to cross through a field of buffalo to get to the door.
No.
Congratulations. And you are, your name is?
Jeff Mueller.
Jeff.
I'm Kateri. Kateri Mueller.
The Mueller is here. And they're in Buffalo. Would you do it again? Would you do it again, though?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you would do it again? Okay. What about ostriches? Some guys are doing ostriches or llamas.
There's some down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's llamas down the road.
Llamas or ostriches?
Llamas. Doesn't Tony have llamas?
He did.
Nobody here knows if he does or not.
Okay. All right, so it's quite a neighborhood anyhow. It sounds like a great time. And we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. You saw how it went the first time. It could go that way again. You seem like, yes, you back there, dear, way in back. Yes, come on down here. You had your hand up first, so I'm assuming it's more important to you than it is for anybody else here. I hope that's all for good reasons. How are you?
Good.
And you are?
Margaret Losey.
Margaret, are you from around here or not?
I'm from Milwaukee.
What part of town?
I'm in the River West neighborhood.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
Margaret, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because it's my push prize.
Your what?
My push prize. I had a baby.
Oh.
I wanted to come to this show, and this is my push prize.
It's your push prize. Whoa. Come on, that's the best reason I've ever heard. Oh, God. See, that's what they should have had for that little party they're having there for the baby. Push prizes.
Push prize.
Don't you think that'd be a good idea?
It would.
Do you think, like, writing little funny things on diapers?
I don't know. Is that appeal to you? I'm kind of cynical, so I don't know what I'd write on there. You're
kind of cynical. Oh, that's pretty good. Margaret, right? You said. Yes?
Yes, the correct.
And from Milwaukee River West, are you, what are you doing down there?
I work in a chemical factory.
Oh, you do?
I do.
One that we know?
Sigma Aldrich.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. What chemicals do you make?
I don't know. I work on the pack line. I just pack them.
Okay, it's pack them. Yeah. You probably don't want to know what you pack.
No.
Well, that's great. And how old is the baby now?
He's four.
He's 4 years old.
It took a while to get here, but we're here.
Yeah. Took a lot.
This is the first week that my mother agreed to take him overnight. So.
Oh, yeah. Took a lot of pushing. Now, you're still pushing.
Yes.
Is that a common thing now, a push prize?
I think for rich people.
Really?
Yeah. We're not rich, though.
Yeah, that's why you got this show. Yeah, isn't it? If this is my push prize, I don't push. You know, I pull maybe, but I wouldn't. Well, that's great. And you still have the one, or?
We actually have 14 and four. A 14-year-old and
a 14-year-old and a 14. Yes. You took a decade off. That makes sense.
I know. Yeah. I know. I forgot about what it was like to have a baby, so I signed up again.
Took you a while.
It did.
Okay. That's what they say. You never have more kids if you actually remembered what happened. You know,
but you take 10 years off. And I'll do it again.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being drugged, I think.
Yes,
for the average.
Well, it's true.
Because then you recall that. And well, that's great. Okay, and then what do you do for kicks? Do you like to go out and dance, or do you like you have a bike that you like to ride? Or
We like to hang out in our backyard, just hang out.
In the backyard? What are you doing back there?
Grill out, read books.
Yeah.
Hang out with the kids.
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, Margaret, some out there plays along with you, you know, as a general knowledge quiz and so forth. Let's find out how that works. How does that work?
People at home who want to play the quiz, dial 1-800-942-5669.
Okay.
And you ask them a question, and if they get it right, they get to play.
All right. Scientists in Sweden have managed to pluck a single atom. I don't know how they did this, but they did. And it struck a note. What I want to know is, what note did this single atom that they managed to pluck in Sweden strike? So we're looking for a note here, you know, like. What are some names of notes? Oh, Jonathan. Didn't we used to have a band?
Yeah, we did.
Two guys. And... Okay, just name a note, and that if that atom struck that note, then you'll be right. Let's go to the phones right now in Kent, Ohio. They went together, which is even more shocking. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic. Scientists in Sweden plucked a single atom. What note did it strike, Paul? Did you see that?
A flat minor. Oh, wait. That's what you get when you throw a piano down a mine shaft.
Disqualified.
That almost qualifies you,
no,
Paul.
No. But, Michael, I've played before and I've won. I just wanted to thank you for mentioning the great one, Roberto Clemente. Derek Jeter by millions.
Yeah.
Thanks. Keep up the good work. Love you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Got to agree with him on that one. Jan is in Chippewa, Wisconsin. Hey, Jan.
Hey.
Are you in the Falls, Chippewa Falls?
I am in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah. How are you then now?
I'm good.
Good. You know, if you pluck a single atom, then what note you'll get?
I want to say a B sharp.
Why do you want to say a B sharp? Don't you want to be right?
I do want to be right.
You know, notes. There are other notes besides that. You know, C, D, F, flat.
An F flat.
Or C or D or...
I love your show. A D flat.
What?
D flat.
D flat? Oh, John, you reappeared. How did you do that? A D is not a D flat, is it, John?
It's a D minor.
It's a D minor. Well, then what's a regular D?
You got me in music class here.
Yeah. Did you take music class?
No, I didn't take a music class. I'm an early childhood teacher.
Oh, okay.
We just play all the music at one time.
So there's a variety of notes occurring, is what you're saying.
There's a variety of notes.
You pick any one. So which one would you pick out of those variety of notes if you were striking an atom?
If I was striking an atom, yeah. I would pick a D.
Oh, you got it. How do you like that? She picked a D. It's a D. However, it's 20 octaves above the highest note in the piano.
Oh, my Don, goodness. My John, music friend is on her way here soon. Yeah. I'll ask her when she opens the door.
Yeah, could you strike that 20 octaves above the highest note? Very nice.
Very nice.
That's what an atom sounds like. Okay. Jan,
this is my luckiest day.
It really is. What happened to the paper I had? Oh, I dropped it. Oh. I had all my notes on here. Okay. Jan, Margaret?
Yes.
Jan?
Hello.
Yes.
You're a team right now. Want to chat a little bit?
All right, go team.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. See, that could have wrote that on the diaper.
It's true.
Go team. All right. Margaret, Jan, you are a team. Various categories, have we not?
Yep,
Sarah?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Jan, you pick the first one.
Well, since I'm sitting in my school right now, let's pick things that I should have learned in school or that I should be teaching these young children.
Why are you in school on Saturday?
Well, I'm the owner of an early learning center, and you know there's lots and lots to do when the kids aren't here.
I guess. All right. So two of you, what category did you like? You wanted school?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Demonstrate a pick and roll.
Oh, that's in football. That's a...
Well, I think we're talking about basketball here.
Oh.
The pick and roll.
The pick and roll.
If you can't demonstrate it, just describe it to me.
Margaret, I'll let you demonstrate it.
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea.
Pick and roll.
Well, I think it's when they give a bump and they roll around them and they steal that basketball.
Okay, that would be...
That would be one roll.
Oh, yeah, no. No, it's when you pick the guy as you stand in front of him, sort of like, and then you dart around and they throw the ball to you. That's kind of like a little trick thing that no one falls for.
Oh.
Right? Is that right? Is that fairly accurate? Yeah, okay. All right.
Pretty accurate.
Don't worry about it. That's only...
One wrong.
Okay.
And the categories left are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Can you finish all my...
Sentences? Sure.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Margaret?
People, places.
Oh, they're two different things.
Oh, people.
You have to pick people or places.
Well, then we do people.
You do people? Okay. People.
Okay.
Out of four Americans, how many want their state to secede from the Union?
All of those in Alaska.
Is it one, two, or three? This is out of Americans in general. Now, how many want their, out of four Americans, how many want their state to secede?
Their state, their state.
Their state. They want all the other states to secede. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
What do you think, Margaret?
Two.
Do you think half of Americans want their state to secede
maybe,
from the Union?
Maybe. One.
You think one in four Americans?
I think maybe three.
You think three in four Americans? We've had a range of feeling here now.
What do you think there, Margaret?
You could go with one.
One?
One.
Yeah, one. Okay. One. One in four is still high. Think about it. At 48, that's like 12 states right there of the original 48.
One right and one wrong.
Oh, the original 48, you're saying.
Uh-huh. No, I'm not saying that anymore. Yes. So it's one and one?
One and one, and the categories left are current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Controversy. It's very controversial, that question. Jan, what do you want?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. Groundhog Gate, they're calling it. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. What the heck is going on there? Groundhog Gate. New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio. What happened?
Are they trapping and getting rid of all the groundhogs in Central Park?
Nope.
Oh, just a guess.
Oh, good Lord.
Groundhog Gate. You see this? No? No? Okay, you didn't see this one? He dropped the groundhog, their groundhog.
And he dropped the groundhog?
He dropped it?
In February, he died later of internal injuries.
Oh, no.
What did he drop
Chuck,
it from, man?
Chuck, he dropped it from his arms. All right, so we're in a bad situation here. You got to get this one quick, really,
please
right,
do.
And you'll win the quiz.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Places, science, or odds and ends?
Places, science, odds and ends.
What do you think? What do you think?
Oh, let's go with places.
Places. Places.
Okay. State with the rudest drivers. Rudest drivers. Is it Idaho, New Jersey, Massachusetts?
New Jersey.
The surprising answer to this state with the rudest drivers.
Idaho?
Massachusetts.
Idaho is right.
Idaho.
I'm surprised.
Margaret, you can carry around crowd reactions you deserve in the palm of your hand with instant audience, electronically producing applause, boos, or crickets from Archie McPhee, batteries included. Jan, from communism to creationism or Freud's interpretation of dreams, you'll find it all in Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded, by Michael Feldman, of course, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And both of you can perk up your taste buds with a jar of all-natural sweet salsa from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat. And satisfy your desire for sensual romanticism, listening to the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff with Ivory Tickling Liner Notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Margaret, keep pushing. Jan, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, all you OKC Feldman fans, we'll be at the OCCC on Saturday, October 25th for a Sooner edition of What Do You Know? For tickets, call the box office at 405-682-7579, or you can go to notmuch.com to find out about tickets.
Thank you all for coming, and I mean that. And you all come back, especially if you're from Alabama, because we can talk like that.
If you're planning your next Madison Audi, you can bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Just click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing, guest information, and get your tickets today. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colburn.
Holy cow!
PRI, Public Radio International.